Welcome to Conscious Compassion, hosted by Charles Gray
and Portia Flores. This podcast will share stories of the different ways that people deal with low moments in their lives.
How they manifest the drive to overcome obstacles and keep pushing forward. A fluid space with media, poetry, music, literary readings, or just plain storytelling.
Coupled with in-depth interviews of the storytellers so that listeners can learn, relate, and be inspired.
Spend a moment with us as we explore creative coping strategies for these chaotic times. Conscious Compassion,
where we share because we care.
Welcome to another episode of Conscious Compassion. I'm Charles Gray.
And I'm Portia Flores.
And today we have Angie Jones.
Hello.
She is a wonderful, wonderful friend. And I found out some stuff about her recently that I had no idea about and went, hey, would you please come and share on our show? Because I think people need to hear this. I'm going to stop talking and just let this get real. So, Angie, if you don't mind, let our audience know who you are. And then we'll talk about your journey.
Okay. Well, my name is Angie Jones. And let's see, grew up in Long Island, went into the financial industry. So I've worked with three major corporations. Well, okay. So I started with Prudential. Then I moved to Merrill Lynch. And then I moved to Deutsche Bank. And this was all while I was at Deutsche Bank.
Okay.
So I lived in Florida for the last 15 years, and I found myself feeling less than, and I couldn't figure out why. The answer came to me. It's rather drastic. Most people probably would not have chose it, but that's kind of who I am. I'm a balls to the walls type of person. It's all or nothing. Give it 110% or don't give it any effort at all. It made sense to me. Yeah, I went on a little bit of a journey for the last 2.5 years.
Okay. So what led you into it? I mean, what put you into the emotional state that said, this is going to be the solution for me for now?
I had everything. I had a house. I had a brand new car. My son graduated from college. He's doing successful. He's a fireman now. And I was still empty inside. And I felt there had to be more to life than just getting up, going to work, coming home, you know, going out on the weekends with your friends. Like, none of that was fulfilling anymore. And I wanted more out of life. And I felt trapped. Even though that's probably the freest I've ever been, I felt trapped. And I felt like the walls were closing in on me. And it's not about age, because on Wednesday I'll be 51.
Oh.
It was just about life. Like, I guess, you know, I had to say every 10 years you go through a phase and you change as a person. And I guess that was my phase. That was my change, because I was leading up to my 50th birthday and something had to change. Like, I just wanted more out of life, more enjoyment, more interaction, more experiences. That's what it was. I wanted more experiences.
Your job didn't have you traveling?
No. I was in the back office in Jacksonville, Florida. So I didn't travel. There was no need for me to travel. Yeah. So I was just, you know, pretty much in Jacksonville until my son left and went up north. And then I found myself the only one in my family in Florida. Everyone else is in up north, New Jersey, Delaware, Brooklyn, the Bronx, Queens. I was the only one in Florida, so I would constantly make trips up here, you know, when we were having picnics or family reunions or people just getting together. I would come back and forth, but I still felt unfulfilled. Hmm. And I just knew I needed a change.
Okay.
So it was the weirdest thing. I didn't know what I was looking for. And so I decided to get on YouTube and just see what was in my feed. The first thing that popped up was a girl. Her YouTube name is Hobo Alley, but not hobo as in indigent anyway, like that. It was Homeward Bound. So okay. Hobo Alley was her name. And her video was about her living in her Jeep Cherokee for a year. And I was like, what? That is the craziest thing in the world. Why would anybody do that? But I was intrigued. So I watched the video and she was explaining how, you know, she was working three jobs, trying to put herself through college, and she was barely ever home. She was just going from job to job to job to job, work and school. On the weekends, she would just hang out with her friends and they would go do all these great things. And she couldn't understand why she was paying rent on an apartment that she was never at. So she was like, you know what? I spend most of the time in my car. So let me see if I can actually do this and save some money and, you know, get through school. I won't have to work three jobs. I'll have more free time. Let me just see if I can do it. So she documented her journey of living in a car for over a year. She was in a much colder climate. I was in Florida. And every point she made, it hit home with me. I was like, she's like, yeah, you really don't need all of this. She's like, you know, she gave all the tips that I could ever need, like where to take showers, where to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, where to park safely. If you get tired of staying in your car, there's an app called Couch Buddy. You can, you know, just put that you're in the area and somebody will say, hey, you could come stay on my couch for the night. And whole new world that I did not even realize opened up to me. Exactly. It just all made so much sense. I was like, I don't need half the stuff that I have. None of us do, in my opinion. None of us do, because the more we make, the more we buy, the more stuff we accumulate, then the more space we need. So now we got to buy a bigger house to put in more stuff. And who am I buying all this stuff for? How is it fulfilling me inside? Is it making me, is it enriching my life in any way? After I answered these questions, it was like, no, I don't need this stuff. But I didn't know what the end result would be. I just knew that, you know what? Let me get rid of everything. Get rid of furniture, my house, my everything but my car. Just live with the basics and see where life takes me. See if that is any more fulfilling. Is that what I need to do to be fulfilled, is to get rid of my stuff? So I was like, you know what? Okay. So for the next 6 months, I watched every video I could find on YouTube about people living in their car. It's called car camping.
Okay.
And believe it or not, there are communities of people all over the world that live in their cars, that live in their vehicles. Some of them even buy like little mini school buses and re-outfit the whole thing to be a house. It's got a kitchen, it's got a stove, it's got a bathroom, it's got shelves and a bed and storage. And okay, that was a little much for me.
I've seen those before.
That was a little much. I like that.
I was like, okay, I'm not doing all that. But
it wasn't scary for you at all?
You know, it wasn't.
Wow.
It was so weird. So I've been watching the videos and I got, you know, where you can park safely at night. And Walmart is one of those parking lots. And you don't
really?
Yes, you don't pay attention to it. But if you go to Walmart at night and you look at the cars in way, way in the back, the windows will be blacked out. There'll be little vans or minivans or buses. And those people are car camping. And half the time, you don't even realize it.
Now, generally, when you have a store that's open really late, mm-hmm. They also have a security detail that just rides around the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give you a hard time?
No, Walmart allows car campers.
Oh my goodness.
That's one of the very few stores that allows people to park in their lot, you know, like I said, in the back, park in their lot and stay overnight.
Wow. Nissy, you just like opened a whole door for me because I
hadn't
a clue. So this is like camping on a whole nother level.
Yeah.
You know, I think of the trailer parks and all that kind of stuff. But like this is just a whole different version of all that. They just took it to a whole different level.
Yeah. Wow. You can find out churches are safe. Walmart is safe. 24-hour, Planet Fitness. That's what it is. Planet Fitness, because they're open 24 hours and they have security. Wow. And there are lots overnight. You can car camp there. There was a ton of places that I could have car camped. And so many, just a whole new world opened up to me. And there's things called Gas Buddies, So if you have a Facebook page, a YouTube page or YouTube channel, people record their journeys every day, what they're doing, how they set up their car to go to bed at night, how they put up the blackout curtains to block out the light, and, you know, how you make your car not look like you're sleeping in your car from the outside.
Right.
It was okay. It was a whole ordeal. And like I said, it took me 6 months to get the right blackout curtains so it didn't look like I was living in there. It just looked like I had tinted windows. And, you know, what to do when it rains, right? Because it rains and you're hot in the car, you can't open the window because the water comes in. And then they have these battery operated fans. And
wow.
Especially living in Florida. Oh my goodness, the rain must be astronomical.
Yeah.
Or just the heat.
Exactly. I mean,
heat and bugs and all kinds of things.
Yeah. And there's little air conditioners that you can fit into the window of your car. That looks that doesn't look like, you know, an actual air conditioner. And a whole new world opened up to me. I was like, people really can live off the bare minimum. Now, all the things that she described, like where to go to the bathroom, where to warm up your food, how to keep your food refrigerated and not spoil, all of that was great, but I didn't need it because at the time, the company I was with, I was on the international team. And so our campus was open 24 hours a day, and we have security 24 hours a day. We have gyms, we have showers, we have lockers, we had refrigerators, freezers, microwaves, toaster ovens.
So you had a residual apartment, basically.
Yeah, at my job. And it's not like it was any different because after work, I would go for a run, come back to the job, take a shower. Like nobody thought anything of it. Nobody knew for over a year and a half that I was living my car right there. Nobody knew.
Wow. And it's, okay, so here's a silly question, and I'm sorry to interrupt your flow. Darling, you're almost as tall as I am.
Mm-hmm.
How did you fit in your car to sleep?
At first, it was a little difficult because at that time, I had a Dodge Avenger at the time. So what I did was I pulled the back seats down. I got a foam mattress that was the size of like a mini twin bed. And I put it through the trunk into the back seat. So my feet would be in the trunk and my upper torso would be on the back seat. And I put sheets on it. I had a pillow. I had blankets.
You did. You bed, Beth, and beyond that too, didn't you?
Sheets, pillow, blanket. I had my battery-operated fan. I had a battery, actually a little portable battery that I could charge my phone into. I charge my computer with anything I needed, and then I could charge the battery into the outlet of the car lighter. So when I'm driving during the day, my battery charges.
Or
I could take it into work, put it under my desk, and plug it in.
Right, I was going to say, you could just take it to work.
By the time I leave work, my battery's fully charged, and I got enough to keep my cell phone on, my laptop on, my portable nightlight on, and keep me entertained until the morning.
Wow.
So I have a question. How did you manage your wardrobe? Do you have like a uniform at work, or like how were you managing the outfits?
Okay.
That's a wonderful woman question. I appreciate it.
A small storage unit. And I bought, you know, the racks that you see in the store with the clothes that are hanging?
Yeah.
So I bought about three or four of those. And I bought some plastic tins. My storage unit was my dressing room. So on Saturdays, I would go to the laundromat. I found a 24-hour laundromat so I can go anytime I wanted.
Those are the best.
I would go anytime I wanted. So Saturdays, I would go to the laundromat. Then I would go to my storage unit, put my clothes up, hang them up, put everything out, pull out my outfits for the week. Put them together and stick them in the car.
Wow.
And then I had like my little travel bag. I had my shower bag and I had my change clothes bag.
I am that in awe.
Extraordinary. Mm-hmm. And nobody knew.
Nobody knew. Actually, my productivity at work went up. I got a promotion.
And see, the thing is, the thing that I'm like wrapping my head around, people would assume that this would be an act of desperation. And we're dealing with somebody who's got like a six-figure job. So it's like, this is your just what you just decided to do.
Yeah. I realized back in 2005, when my sister died, that money means nothing. Money comes and it goes. Money does not make you happy. Regardless of what people think, money does not make you happy. The things that money could buy might make you happy for a small while, but then you're off to buying something else. And then that's how we end up with a house full of crap that we don't want, and storage units full of crap that we don't really need or want, and has no sad, adds no joy or satisfaction to our lives. It's just things. And I got rid of everything. I got my my storage unit and my cars outfitted. And so then I was just about at the end of paying off my car. So then I started shopping for crossovers, like little SUVs.
Right.
I needed to
something with out. A little space.
You
thank you.
Do some space.
You gotta lay down.
So first thing I did was I measured my body laying down. And I tried to figure out how much space I needed, like, to put my bed, and then, like, have little, like, ooh, I had, like, a quote-unquote little night table to the left of me. And so once I got the measurements, I started SUV shopping. And the ones that had the biggest trunk space was the Hyundai Sonata, the Subaru Forester, and the Volvo...
XC90.
Yeah, X90.
Yep,
thank you.
That's what I got.
And then I was like, okay.
I can lay down in the back of my car, which I thought was extraordinary. It's like, oh my God, a car that I can actually lay down in. That's amazing.
Yes. And then another thing was, if I'm going to be in the car, I need a sunroof.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Lay down, put my, you know, sunroof back or my shade back and look up at the stars, look up at the trees, just... I needed to feel connected. So the Subaru Forester had the biggest sunroof. It goes from the front to past the back seat.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So it's almost like they call it a full roof, but it's not. But it's close. So I was like, okay. But my thing was, I'm in Florida. It doesn't snow in Florida. Why do I need a Subaru Forester? Subarus are really great cars, but they're cars for snow and cold weather. And I'm like, I don't know how that's
or mountain climbing or something.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know how this is gonna do in Florida. But the weird part about it was after I started researching, I started seeing Subarus. So I would stop the owners and I would ask them about their cars and how it does in the hot weather and, you know, this, that, and the other. And they're like, it performs just like any other car. It's great. Everybody loves their Subarus. You get like 300, 400,000 miles on them. The trade-in value doesn't really decrease.
Right.
And I was like, and on top of that, it came with little orange trim that I love so much. So I was like, all right, let's go get me a Subaru. Heated seats. I got it. Cause it's going to be my house. So it's got to have all the bells and whistles, right?
Exactly.
So I got my Subaru Forester with the bells and whistles. But now I have two cars. I can only sleep in one. So
you didn't trade it in.
You could have your summer house car.
Yeah, right. Your vacation car.
What I did was I knew my son had been having problems with his car up in Delaware. So I drove to Delaware. I didn't tell him I was coming. I drove to Delaware, met him on the weekend, spent the whole weekend with him. And I was like, hey, can you drop me at the airport? And he was like, wait, what? You just drove in. I was like, yeah, no. He's like, what are you going to do with your car? I was like, this is your car now. So I was able to gift my son with a fully paid off Dodge Avenger. I flew back to Florida where my house was waiting for me in the parking lot.
Awesome.
And we went and parked. But you know what I did do, though? Because I wasn't sure if I'd be able to sleep in the car. So the weekend before, I went out. Had lunch at my favorite restaurant, and then I got sleepy. I was like, okay, so let's see how this is going to work. It's during the day. It's a Saturday. I don't have anything planned today. If I was living in the car, what would I do today? And I was like, okay, well, one, I'm tired. I want to take a nap. So I was like, okay, let me go find a tree with some shade and go to sleep and see how I feel. So I found a tree. I had a great breeze. I put my seat back. I fell asleep. I woke up 3 hours later. Charles, that was the most peaceful and comfortable I had ever been in my life. And then I knew, I was like, this is going to be a piece of cake.
Wow. That is so the opposite of, I did a, what was it, Christmas in Florida, Miami, as a matter of fact. I was doing a show down there, and we had broken for the holiday. So I was by myself, and I wasn't going to be able to come up and see family or anything. It was like the only Christmas I've actually spent completely by myself. Mm-hmm. And I drove down to Miami Beach in the rental car that I had, and I slept in the car that night and woke up and, you know, just kind of walked along the beach and stuff. And it was just me and the Hasidic Jews, because nobody else was nobody else is on the beach at Christmas morning. It was very funny.
I had a couple of those.
And I found myself, I barely slept at all.
Really?
Because I yeah. Well, one, obviously, it's a fit issue. I didn't have all the extra goodies, the padding and the you know, the air mattress and all that stuff. I didn't have any of that.
Yeah.
And I guess I was so hyper aware of everything around me. Every sound, every bump, every truck that went by, everything. I couldn't sleep at all, really. So I'm really quite the opposite of the peace that you found in that moment. So I think, wow,
I just melted. Okay, I got to go back a little bit because I kind of skipped over an important part. So I'm thinking about this and I'm starting to try to retrofit my car to live in my car. But then I'm like, well, maybe that's not it. Because I also saw, and it is probably a state, I saw Gabrielle Union on the stairs at the Great Wall of China. And I was like, I always wanted to do that. So I was like, you know what? If you can't find peace in China, you just can't find peace. And especially on the Great Wall, right? So I was like, you know what? I'm going to China. Got my passport, got my plane ticket. Never been on a flight more than like 4 hours. So this is my first like overseas flight. 13 hours overseas. I got to China. The first night we stayed in a hotel. And then after that, we stayed, we went to seven different portions of the Great Wall. And each time we would stay in like a little hostel, I guess you would call it. Like I said, the only time I spent in a hotel was that first night. After that, it was pretty much roughing it in hostels. Because again, I was like, I don't need a lot of stuff. I'm trying to find myself. I'm trying to find my purpose in life. Like, I know I'm not just supposed to work and make money. It's got to be more to it. So first day on the wall, we did 8 hours. And I think we did like over 100 miles that day.
Wow.
We had a breakfast and lunch, and we had dinner back at the hostel. We were up at like 6 o'clock in the morning. We got to the wall, we got on top, and you just walk and you walk. It's the Great Wall of China. There's nothing to do but walk. But there's no music. There's no television. There's no phones. It's just you and the air and nature and your thoughts and your footsteps. And the more I walked, the more I got in tune with myself, like my heartbeat and my rhythm and my breathing. And I don't know, maybe it was, you know, the sun. I don't know. But there was one portion of the wall, probably like towards the end, that had a tree. That gave a little bit of shade, because there's no trees lying in the Great Wall of China. So I got to the tree and I put my hand on the tree just to rest. And I don't know, maybe it was me, maybe it was the sun, but I felt the heartbeat of the tree. Like I felt like it's hard to explain. And I got chills and the hair on my arms stood up and I just burst into tears. All I kept saying was, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, universe. I don't know where that came from. It just came to me and I just felt so at peace. I still didn't know where I was going or what I was doing when I got back to America. But right then and there, that's what I had been searching for, but I was unable to find. And every village we went to, we got to stay with the villagers and they don't have much. They don't. They barely had like rooms and cots for us to sleep on. But these people,
they were happier than most of the people that you know here.
Yes. these people were just so happy to share a bowl of rice with you and drink some jasmine tea in the morning and, you know, do the, what is that?
Tai Chi?
Yes, thank you. Tai Chi in the mornings. And they would go outside and get sticks and tie them up and make a broom and sweep the porch in front of the house. And it was like not one person had a care in the world. There was no big sky rises and flashing lights. It was just little villages with little lanterns. Sometimes they didn't even have lanterns. Sometimes they didn't have paved roads. Most of the roads were dirt roads, going up and down hills. They had sheets for like for doors, pretty much. So, you know, you have entry for a door, you put up a sheet, and they would make fires outside in the yard and with a big pot. And that's where they would cook everything in this one big pot outside. But I tell you, that was the best Chinese food I've ever had. I don't know if it's Chinese food when you're in China.
It still is.
I had the best food ever. Oh my gosh, that food was so good. I ate more vegetables in China than I've eaten in my entire life. And that's how I became vegan when I came back home. That's a whole nother story. But I just, at that moment, I felt peace. And I was like, okay, I can do this. So the next day I woke up, I'm ready to go. 6 o'clock in the morning, we get on the bus, we go to the next town, we get on the wall, and I got my backpack with, you know, my juice and my water and my camera and some snacks. And I walk. For the first time, my mind is absolutely clear. Like, you know how when you meditate and they say the purpose of meditation is to just have a blank mind and have a clear mind and not have all these thoughts rushing into your head? Mm-hmm. That was the first time I ever had that. I came back to America. I don't have that anymore. I got a million thoughts going through my head right now.
Yeah, this country does that to you.
Yes, all the hustle and bustle and then the energy too. That's another thing. The energy in China is just so calm and peaceful. And the elders, they actually sit outside on the benches in the evenings and they talk and they have dance lessons, believe it or not. Like the whole little village would come out, they would put on some music and they would perform like a dance. And every night you get to learn a new dance. And this is what the villagers did. After dinner, they come out and they dance.
That's wonderful.
And I learned a little Mandarin, so I got to actually speak to some people.
Oh, nice.
They were just so nice. And I didn't know that they don't really see African Americans all that much. But just all African Americans in Asia are like superstars. Every Asian person I met wanted to take a picture with me, wanted to take videos with me at the airport, in the taxi, on the wall. Like, they don't see us very often in real life. And I was a little nervous because I had never been there. I don't know what the culture was like. I didn't know if they were going to accept me. But everywhere I went, it was just like so welcoming and peaceful and calm. And they show you that you don't need much. Get you some sticks, some fire, and a pan. You can pretty much make anything. I seen them make cakes in the same pan that they made rice. They made chicken, turtle. What else did we eat?
Turtle.
Yeah, we had turtle. I tried it. Yeah, but mostly vegetables because they don't have much meat, so they can't afford the meats all the time.
Right, right.
So we would have vegetables for breakfast. We had vegetables pretty much every meal. You got more vegetables than anything else, and white rice, always white rice. And jasmine tea in the morning. The more I got to know them, and the more Mandarin I learned, these people didn't want anything but to live and be happy. No complications, no backstabbing at work and claw biting to get ahead and pushing each other under the bus and the hustle and bustle going down the street and honking horns and all that distraction was gone. And I've never
sounds like it's just what you needed.
Yeah, it was. So by the time it was time for me to come back, I was like, okay, I know I don't need all this stuff, but what's my purpose? What's my plan? Like, what's my end game? I couldn't tell you. I was like, I don't know, but I just know I'm supposed to be doing this right now. And when it's time to stop, then the universe will let me know that, hey, it's time to do something else. That was a year and a half. I did that. Just working, saving money, not knowing what I was going to do with it, but I had it.
Right.
And coronavirus came.
There you go. Oh,
yeah. And then all my resources start to shut down. So like Wawa has free Wi-Fi. I don't know if you guys know that. The Wi-Fi is pretty strong too. Yeah. So you'll learn which stores have Wi-Fis and you can go connect not only Starbucks. Starbucks is not the only one, you know. So you connect to your Wi-Fi and, you know, watch a movie before I go to sleep. But eventually it got to the point where I didn't even watch movies on my laptop or read the news or anything. I would just pick another, get a book out of my storage and set my bed up, get my parking spot for the night, read a book until I fell asleep. And every morning, it is the best thing to wait to the sunrise.
Right.
Every morning. I felt so peaceful. And the weird part about it is some days, like now when I'm stressed, I'll go sleep in my car. I feel more comfortable in my car than I do in this house, Charles.
Wow.
Whenever I'm like stressed and I got to get away, I'll get in my car and I'll go to Wawa. I'll park in the back and get in my back seat and put everything down, open up my sunroof, and I just lay there until I feel at peace again.
You know, I forget what they're called, but they're these tanks where you lay in warm water, like half your body.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what they're called, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And they're just supposed to just, you know, like cut off all sense, cuts everything out so that you can basically have the same kind of sensation.
Mm-hmm.
But you're adding that kind of womb effect to it with the warm water. I'm curious if that type of experience would be helpful for you. Because, I mean, you hear about, I mean, classically throughout history, you hear about people going on pilgrimages to find themselves, to, you know, that trip to Mecca so that I can become one with the spirit within and all of that, you know, and you... It sounds like your trip to Mecca just happened to be inside of a car.
I kind of found another one. So it was three in succession. It was supposed to be three in succession. So I went to China and then I came home and I was in my car and then all the chaos and the anxiety and everything came back. And I was like, okay, I feel good when I'm in my car. But as soon as I get out of my car, all of that energy from the world, it bombards me and it weighs me down.
Right.
And so I was like, okay, I got to get away again. So my next trip was supposed to be a Compostela. And basically, that's a pilgrimage walk. It is from France to Spain. And it takes 35 days. And you walk.
Wow.
You walk from space to space. So that was going to be my next trip. Because I knew I liked the peace and the solitude, but I didn't have a purpose. I just thought that after I found that my purpose would magically appear to me. But it didn't.
Right.
So the next trip I was planning was my Compostela. But then, like I said, coronavirus hit. So I haven't been able to go on my Compostela. But I'm still going to go. Because when I got back... My job was like, oh, okay, well, we're pretty much relocating your department. And all the signs pointed to New Jersey. So I didn't make any decisions. I didn't tell my boss yes or no, I'd go or I'd stay. You could stay, get another job. You're going to take a severance package. You could move to Jersey. So those are my three options. Stay in Florida, take a severance package, or move to New Jersey. I didn't know what I was going to do. So when I got back from China, I enrolled in community college because I know I like construction. So I was like, you know what? I have nothing to do. So after work, I'm going to go to class and I'm going to get a degree in construction program management.
Wow.
So I did that. Thank God that Florida State College of Jacksonville, their library is open to 3 o'clock in the morning. So after class, I would leave there. I would go to the library. And I would study as long as I want, bring my heated blanket, charge my battery, you know, go to the bathroom, re-up my
supplies. Working the system.
Oh, yeah.
I was working the system. Like,
you have to with those tuition prices.
Yeah, right? So, but I didn't have a light bill. I didn't have a mortgage. I didn't have a water bill. So I was able to pay my tuition, no problem, because I didn't have any of the bills. All I had was my car payment and my insurance and eating.
Right.
And my storage unit.
I said, and you were making bank. It's not like you were trying to do all this on $20,000.
Exactly. Yes. So, like, wow. I stacked the money, and I was like, okay. So I went to school, and I love construction. So I figured, okay, let's see how this all plays out with my job. Worst case scenario, I'd been with Deutsche Bank for 11 years at the time, 12 years. So my severance package was looking pretty nice. So I was like, okay, worst case scenario, take the severance package, finish up school, and start my own construction company. Because I got enough to live off of until I can actually get clients and, you know, build a business. So that was my plan, right? At least I thought. But then all the signs started pointing to New Jersey. Come to find out my brother lived in New Jersey. Didn't know that. I thought he was still in Brooklyn. So I came down, I visited him. And New Jersey has the best old houses in the world. Oh my God, these homes are so beautiful. I fell in love. I was like, colonial style homes, craftsman style homes, like being in construction, like this is what I want. I want a house where I have, you know, a little bit of leeway where I could do some, you know, my own DIY stuff, but nothing major. Bring out.
Put your stamp on it.
Exactly. Put my stamp on it. Bring out my creativity. Because I found that I like working with my hands. I'm not a desk person. I'm not an office person. I'm not a corporate politics person. I play the game because I have to and they pay me. But it doesn't bring me joy. So I was like, okay, that's what I'm going to do. Go to school, get my degree, boom, start a construction company. COVID came, wound up in New Jersey, start looking at the houses, found a house, and I fell in love with it, and I bought it. And so now I'm here in New Jersey, but...
Sleeping in a bed again.
Yes, sleeping in bed, which is kind of weird. To go from a car back to a house. Believe it or not, it takes a little bit of adjustment, like, I wouldn't leave the room. I would still go to my car and watch television.
Wow.
For a good couple months, I would just go to my car. And my brother would be like, what are you doing? I got like 17 televisions in his house. Why are you watching TV in the car? I was like, because that's where I feel comfortable at. That's where I'm at peace at. Like, my car is like a rolling peace mobile. For me.
Have you taken like a minimalist approach to your home? Like, are you going back into like the decorating and filling it up? Are you still?
No, each room has the bare minimum. Like, okay. It's got enough for me to function. No more, no less. But I'm getting restless. I don't know if it's buyer's remorse or if I'm just, this is just not the life for me. Maybe I'm a nomad. Maybe I'm meant to travel with very little. I don't know.
So we're going to find you moving to Thailand or Peru or something and living on the side of a mountain.
You hit it right on the head.
in a yurt.
I was thinking
about... Get yourself a nice yurt.
I was thinking about Thailand. I really was. Because I was like, you know what? I could live on the beach and eat fruit off the trees and be just as happy. But yeah, it's like the house is overwhelming for me, actually. I use two rooms, three rooms, the kitchen, the bathroom, and a living room. 90% of the time, I fall asleep downstairs on my couch. I don't think I've slept in my bed too many times since I've been here. And I've been here about a year now. I bought the house in March. So a little over a year. My office, I think I've actually sat and worked in my office 5 times.
And was that like a 4-bedroom or something?
3 bedrooms.
Okay.
So I made one an office, one a guest bedroom, and one's my bedroom.
Okay.
Yeah, I just...
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's interesting because there's the part of you that loves homes and you get excited about them and you want to do things to them. You just don't necessarily want to own it.
Right. And that's the dichotomy. It's like, I love architecture and structure and building and wood and nails. And like, I couldn't be any happier than hanging off the side of a building in 100-degree heat, like putting a roof on. Like, that's my thing. Like, I love sweating. I love being in the heat. I love the sunshine. I don't so much like being enclosed in the house. My bottom floor, my first floor, has 15 windows. And every morning I have a little ritual. I go downstairs, open up all the blinds, open up all the curtains, open up all the windows, cut on the ceiling fan, and just... I call it airing out the house. Every day, right. I Just, I need that fresh air, that fresh energy. Sometimes I'll just take my laptop and I'll go and sit on the porch or in the backyard and I'll work. And I find that when I'm outdoors, I'm more connected, I'm more grounded, I'm more balanced. When I come inside, I get antsy. My mind wanders. I forget stuff when I come inside the house, like, because so much is going on in my mind that I can't keep a thought. I don't know. It's weird, but I don't.
And you don't get claustrophobic in the car?
No. Oh my God, no. I love my car. No. No, no, no. Sometimes I feel like my car has more room than my house.
Wow.
I know that's weird, right? Maybe this isn't for me. But I'm still going through the motions to figure it out if it's me or not. I thought it was, but I think it's like you said, Charles, I like building houses and creating something from nothing, but I don't necessarily like being tied down to it.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of ways to work around that. There really are.
I don't see how, Charles. Like, and this is probably a bad thing, but like I said, I've had this house for less than a year and I'm so ready to sell this house. I don't feel like it's me. It's like clothes shopping, right? Like, you know what's for you, like whether that little black dress is you or not, or whether those high heel shoes are you or not.
Right, right, right.
Or seeking the thrill of like shopping, where some people just love to buy something and then it arrives and it's like, I don't know what to do with this.
Exactly. But thank goodness that's not me. But I love the house. I love working on the house. We painted all the rooms. Well, not all of them. I did all the rooms downstairs. I put in hardwood floors. I love the creation and the process it takes to make something out of nothing and to restore something and to make it beautiful again. I don't think I like being trapped in it. It's like a cage for me. I'm not free. When I was in my car, and there's really no difference, but to me, mentally, there's a difference. When I was in my car, every weekend, I was someplace different. Every weekend. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm in a house, I still have the resources to go any place I want. Charles, I don't leave this house other than to go to the bank, the supermarket.
isn't that kind of like a piece of COVID life? Because, I mean, that's kind of what happens to all of us. I used to be everywhere all the time, and now I go to the grocery store. I go to Home Depot.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
I've got my gym at home, so I don't even have to go out for that. So consequently, yeah. I mean, fortunately, because of where we're living now, you know, I will take these sojourns over to the beach and just sit when I'm feeling the way you're talking about, and just because it's there and it's easy and it's quick, you know, and I can just sit and veg and stare at the water for a while. But yeah, I think that's just
I miss that too, because
a complication of COVID.
I think it's also having the option as well, the option of freedom, because I'm the opposite. I'm such a homebody. I used to be the, hey, we're going out. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to bed, but y'all have a good time. And then COVID came and it was like, well, you have to go home. And it's like, the hell you mean I have to go home? I'm going to walk these streets. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do something. Like, don't tell me what to do. And I find myself now, I'm actually, you know, even with full-time work, because I worked throughout COVID, I was essential worker and full-time school. I find myself now trying to squeeze to go out on the weekends, where it's like normal me, who just did my 9-to-5 and had all the time in the world, was like, nah, I'll stay home. And now I'm like, no, I've just got to cram load every bit of my time into something. So definitely even having that freedom, I think with your car, you have that mobility, and there was nothing tied down to. You didn't have to go to the house. You didn't have to go home. Your car was home. So home was wherever you wanted to be. So if you wanted to be in Boston one day and Canada the next and then drive back down to Florida, you got to choose your home, where when you have a house and it's brick and mortar, it's like, yeah, this address is me here and I can't take it nowhere.
Exactly.
If you can figure out how to make your job like completely mobile, like if you can get to the point where you could essentially work from home and just do your computer, you could be everywhere.
I can. And that's even before COVID, we were working from home because my company just realized it's more cost effective and our production went up. Like I said, I got a raise. Our production went up and people had a better work-life balance. Right. So before COVID, we were working from home 3 days out of the week. We only came into the office twice, and we were moving to a full-time working at home, just coming into the office once a month for meetings. So that's what we were working on. So I was okay with that. And I, like you said, you're right. I would, you know, be at this restaurant for lunch on my laptop, and I would wake up and I'd go to Starbucks and, you know, log in. And, but I, if you think about it, I still have that freedom. I can get up, take my laptop, my battery, get in my car and go anywhere I want. But I just, it doesn't feel the same. And I know a lot of people, once COVID hit, had anxiety issues and all kinds of mental illnesses started to surface. I was so happy when COVID hit. I was, you know, you would see the pictures on the news, but the streets were totally empty and the goats were running around and monkeys were like controlling the streets in Brazil. Like, that made me so joyful to see those pictures where the streets were just empty. I loved it. I was like, I could do this forever.
Because it slowed things down to where you needed it to be.
There was no chaos. There was no hustle and bustle. The energy of the world had pretty much dissipated. Everybody carries their own energy. And so when you go outside, you're taking that energy with you. And now you go outside and you've got millions of people outside with all this different energy. And I just always felt like the energy was attacking me. Like it was just too much. Like it was suffocating me. And when COVID hit and we could only go outside to go to the grocery store or go, you know, for essentials, I felt that peace again.
Wow.
Even though I was at my brother's house, I would come downstairs in the morning and plug my laptop in and I'd talk to his wife. And we were just too happy as two bugs in a rug. Like, we cut on the radio and she's on her computer, I'm on my computer, and we make breakfast and then we make lunch and we go outside on the porch and we sit in the backyard and there was nobody out. There was no energy to attack me. So we would go to the supermarket, we'd go to the bank or wherever we're going. Yes, we had to mask up and sanitize this, that, and the other. And yeah, it was a pain in the butt. However, the energy that was gone made me feel more comfortable. Like, I noticed that I almost kind of became a recluse, that I would wait until like sundown when people are going home and getting inside. Then I would get out of my car and I would go to dinner or I would go for a walk or when it's more calm and more peaceful. Like, being in Florida, you have a beach just about a stone's throw away from any place you could go. And a lot of those beaches, right, you can drive your car. So a lot of times I would wake up on the beach in the morning, be the only car there, to the most beautiful sunrise and hear the waves crashing. And it was the most peaceful feeling I've ever felt. And I'm chasing that feeling. I'm chasing that peace like it's a high.
Wow.
And I don't know if that's good or not.
Sounds like you're heading in the right direction.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a weird question, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, year and a half-ish in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Dating?
It was tricky, but it is possible.
Yeah. Is that like a carcampmatch.com?
Right? No, believe it or not, when you live in your car, you're more apt to go places than you would if you had a home. Because after work, what do? You go home. Me, after work, what do? There's a park that's like 30 minutes away that I've never been to. Or there's a beach. Or there's a botanical garden, or there's a clock tower, or something. There's always something to see and do. So
right.
I was always headed out. So me headed out, feeling freer than I've ever felt, feeling more of me than I've ever felt. I just attracted people to me. My energy attracted people. So wherever I went, I would make friends. And so consequently, I would meet gentlemen, and they would they'd go to dinner and go to Olive Garden, go here, take me out. And then at the end of the date, thank you very much. Have a good night. I'll call you. It's dating.
There you go.
Yeah. And I wasn't looking for any kind of physical intimacy because I felt fulfilled. I just looked at dating as going out into the world and just meeting more people, expanding my network.
Mm-hmm.
more people I could call and talk to on the phone while I'm in the car. And nobody knows I'm in a car. Nobody knows anything. Right. You know? So yeah, I did date. I would, you know, leave work. I go to my little storage, put on my little cute outfit, because you know that was my dressing room, my storage.
Yeah. There you go.
Put on my cute outfit, put my heels on, go to dinner, go to the park, go to dancing, whatever. And then once we leave, I know where I'm going to park for the night. I already got my pajamas in the car. I stop at my job. I take a shower, wash up, do whatever I need to do, talk to the security guards, grab a bite to eat or whatever, get in my car, go to my parking spot, put up my blackout curtains, and pull out my book and read until I fall asleep.
There you go. Wow.
Yeah, so you can't
wait. I can tell right now, we are going to have to check in with you again. We're going to have another installment.
Absolutely. Yes.
Because most of our stories are like a full arc, and this is where I started, this is what happened, and this is where I am now. But mm-hmm. You're still trying to get there.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of my arc. That's
fascinating. You're still riding the wave.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see where you splash down, because I have a feeling you're going to either end up in a yurt or you're going to find yourself in one of those shacks on one of these islands where you've set up your own business. How many Australian and British expats do we know who live in these remote situations in mm-hmm. these islands?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everybody knows them. Mm-hmm. And they've been there for 20 years. They decided to do the same thing. They shut down their corporate existences and they went and they found they started renting surfboards or whatever it mm-hmm. is. You know, they find a business mm-hmm. that allows them to sustain themselves in a very modest way.
Yeah.
But they have peace, because then they buy that little shack over yep. in the corner, way off away from the tourists, mm-hmm. in a spot that nobody else really wants to be bothered with, but it has amazing vistas mm-hmm. and brings them peace. Mm-hmm. And somehow I have a feeling that's where you're going
to
end up.
And I think with the construction knowledge, you might even have all the tools to build your own, which will be super cool, because it's like exactly. This is self-made, from my vision to my blueprints to mm-hmm. me constructing it together.
Yeah. Can I come visit?
Yes, you can. I'm going to go to Thailand and build a whole little village.
Love it.
Yay. I can't
wait. You're going to be the one they're envious on Zoom meetings. They go, there goes Angie again with the nice palm tree in the background. It's not a virtual background, right. though. So just keep hating away.
Exactly.
Isn't that something? Yeah. That's extraordinary.
Yeah.
Well, I can't thank you enough for sharing this with us. It's really an amazing journey that you're on. And I think, you know, you already know what works for you. You just have to figure out how to make it work all the time instead mm-hmm. of just some of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. I got to find my purpose. And I think that's really it. Like, I know I don't need much. I know being outdoors makes me happy. So each day I'm finding like a little bit more about who I am and what I actually like and what I need. So eventually I think I'll get the full picture and I'll be like, oh, boom, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. This is where that journey is taking me.
Right. You start building schools for kids in some third world country.
And, exactly.
You know, it'll fulfill both parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you'll just stay.
Mm-hmm.
I admire the ability just to let the societal normative go, where it's just, all right, well, this doesn't pertain to me, so I don't need it. Where everybody else is kind of sitting there in shock, like, what do you mean you don't need it? And you know, mm-hmm. I feel like everyone sometimes gets constrained, whether it applies to them or not. They still feel like they have to follow mm-hmm. these steps. So that's amazing that you've kind of broken that circle and just taking your own route.
Yeah.
It's
life wasn't fulfilling anymore. And if life is not fulfilling, then what are we doing?
There you
Absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely.
What are we doing? Like, what is it all for? Just to make a bunch of money, get a big house, a bunch of fancy cars, and then die? You can't take any of it with you.
That's true.
Right. Well, we wish you the best.
Yes.
And always. And again, thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. Check back with me in like another year and a half and see where I'm at.
Oh, we will.
I can't wait. I think it'll be exciting. I know it's going to be somewhere exotic and I'm going to want to be there. So,
oh, yeah, you know. Definitely. It's going to be someplace hot. That's for sure.
I'm going to start saving my coins now so I can afford to come to you. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Conscious Compassion.
We'd love to hear your input and to hear what you do to make it through.
You can reach us on our website at consciouscompassion.net. We've got more amazing interviews coming up that we can't wait for you to hear.
Until then, catch you next time. I'm Charles Gray.
And I'm Portia Flores.
Conscious Compassion.
Where sharing is caring.